Such an awesome song. You know, I woke up the other morning and that song was ringing in my spirit. And I know I had not been listening to Fred Hammond. So I give God that glory because it's a message in the music. Again, that is Fred Hammond. All things are working. If you didn't know, all things do work together for our good. It may not feel good in the moment, but it is working for your good. That's what the word of God says. It says all things work together for them that love. If you love him, you love him. It makes a difference. It makes all the difference in the world of what you might be dealing with, what you might be going through. And it don't mean that you caused it, but you're dealing with it. And so there's no and nothing. Hey, all things work together for the good, whether you understand it or not. Listen, I want to welcome you to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. Sunday praise and worship begins at 9 a.m. However, we're on the altar praying and seeking the Lord much earlier than that. You know, Bible said man should always pray. And that's what we should be doing, praying and seeking the Lord. Now, you may or may not know, and if you do know, God bless you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. We're consecrating. We're on our consecration. We're 8 days in. That is 8 days without any meat, no meat. And you probably noticed some changes in your body. I was talking with a young brother on, I believe it was yesterday. And we're talking about meat, you know, and where meat comes from. Yes, you might have raised it. And I lived on a farm for a little while, and so I do understand a few things. But you raised it. You might even gave it a name. But at the end of the day, I asked him to give me a breakdown of where meat comes from, and he started to name some things. And eventually he got to the fact that what was once alive is now dead. And that was what we were focusing on, is that the meat that we put into our body was once alive, is now it's dead, which you already know this. No matter how good it tastes, it is yet within your system. And flesh within itself carries a certain odor. And so you may have noticed a change in your body. Those of you that are consecrating and following along with what we're doing and seeking the Lord and treating him, is that you don't have any flesh being processed through your body. And so therefore you don't have an odor that you would have carried. You don't have an odor when you go to the bathroom. If you start sweating, you do not have the same odor. Things are much lighter because of the consecration. And so just something to note. Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m., which we're going to get into the Word of God shortly here. You know, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, we're faithful. We're bold. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God. And, you know, sometimes God gives you a word, tell you to do something, and you don't want to do it. However, you have to obey what he says in order to see the end result, in order to reap the benefit, the prize. You can do it your way, but doing it God's way is the best way. That's the best way. Now, when we talk about faithfulness, you know, we're faithful because we believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's not talking about just showing up to service on time or, you know, a regimen of things that we might do. But are you faithful to God? Are you loving him with your whole heart? Or are you sacrificing sin instead of indulging in the pleasure of sin? You're saying, hey, I can't do that. I don't, you know, flesh, you don't control this situation. I'm controlling it unto the Lord. We're bold in that way. We're bold, not bold to tell someone else what to do, but bringing our own self into subjection. All of us, no matter what position you hold in the church, no matter who you are, you have to bring this body into subjection. And it has to become the norm. Sanctification is a lifestyle. Holiness is a lifestyle. and without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, I want you to save the dates. We're already in the month of May, and on May 30th, we'll be celebrating in a celebration service, May 30th, 31st, through June 1st. And please visit our website, connectingtruth.org. Click on the flyer there. It's a purple image there. And click on it and see what we're going to be doing. The Lord is going to be blessing. We've been in much prayer. And as you know, we're consecrating unto the Lord. We're seeking him. And this is just a prelude to a greater move of God. The Lord said, I want you to be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. And so you got to give God something to work with. Give him something to work with. Now, we're in the book of Genesis. And we're touching what is referred to as the law of particularization. We're moving from the general to the particulars, the universe, earth, man, and spirit. We're touching the creation and a principal person who is the cosmological, the cause of all things, and the teleological, the designing mind behind everything. None other than God himself, who is sovereign. We didn't make him. We didn't carve him out of wood. We didn't make a mold and pour some soft, warm metal into it until it hardened, and then take it out and carry it someplace and called it a god, you know, or anything like that. No, we're talking about sovereign God. We're talking about God is sovereign. Yes, he is. He's sovereign, and everything is obeying the will of God. But we're the only ones that seem to have a problem. But we're working on it, right? We're all working on it. And so this is a marathon, not a sprint. In other words, every day that you open your eyes is an opportunity for you to do better than what you did yesterday. Better in your natural life. I hope you're striving in your natural life to do better so that you can make a little more. You may not make the same amount of money on your job. You might make it on a second job, or it may lead you to something else. But we're striving in our natural to do better, in our relationships to do better, in our spirit to do better unto the Lord. All right. I want to direct your attention to Genesis, the 29th chapter. And while you're turning there, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your love and mercy, for this opportunity to speak your word, Lord God, and for the platforms that you have provided. Lord, you told Daniel that knowledge would increase, and it has. We're recipients of the increase of knowledge, Lord God, that can be used to magnify and glorify you. Lord God, we pray against foolishness. Lord God, we pray against things that are spoken and said that should not be spoken, that should not be said, that is contrary to your word. Lord God, I pray and ask that you would help us guide our thoughts, guide our minds, Lord God, guide our actions. Help us, Lord God, to yield ourselves unto you and be found obedient unto your will, that we may hear your voice say, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, Lord, touch anyone that is sick among us. Ask that you would heal them. Lord God, remember those that are faithful, those that are faithful to their churches, the place of worship that they attend. Ask that you would bless them, bless that ministry. Lord God, touch those that are supporting their ministry. Bless them, Lord God, for giving. Lord God, and those that are calling our names out in prayer, ask that you remember them as well. Lord Jesus, you know the prayers, the unspoken requests that I've made regarding the consecration of those that are participating. Lord God, I thank you for hearing me. I thank you, Lord God, for hearing, Lord Jesus, and that you will bring it to pass. Ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis, the 29th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 16. It says, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. So Leah was the oldest, and the name of the younger, Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel. He loved him some Rachel. You ought to feel that way about the one you married to, or you're engaged to, or, you know, maybe you're thinking about being engaged. You ought to love them. You ought to love them. And people talk about love, talk about growing apart, and they talk about falling out of love and different things. That's a conversation for another time. But listen, Jacob loved Rachel. And you need to know that before you get engaged, before you get married. You know, if anyone is walking around with those thoughts, patterns in their mind, that gray matter is tainted, ladies, stay away from it. Gentlemen, stay away from it. I heard a sister say one time, she had just got married, and she was with a group of friends. I happened to be there, and she said, wow, she said, my grandmother was married five times, and so third time is the charm. And so right then she signaled to her spouse that she didn't anticipate that marriage lasting. And sure enough, it was months later and she had departed, left the marriage and went on and to do something else. And God bless her. Hope they're doing all right. And, you know, in their endeavors. But people tell you things. All you have to do is listen. Be a good listener. Gentlemen, the best thing you could do is be a good listener. Ladies, they listen. But listen, all right. Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man besides with me. Abide with me. Okay. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And so he told her that I'm going to work for you 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, I want to marry Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said, Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? The Bible tells us in Galatians, the 6th chapter, it gives all of us, no one is exempt from this. Not one person on the face of the earth, not the prince of the air, not the one third of the angels that fell with him. No one is exempt from this. It's something that we must be aware and take seriously. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Pastor, you said you name angelic fallen angels and stuff. Well, they reap what they have sown already. And you'll find that in the book of Jude. Okay. All right. Now, I want to take a thought this evening, and that is that thing can and will follow you. That thing, whatever that thing is that you've done, whatever that thing is that you're doing, it will follow you. Now, the Bible provides an account of real people and events. We can see the past, present, and future development, growth of sin and righteousness. Each of us is writing a story that contains a setting. It contains characters or characteristics, plots, conflict, and other themes. All of them can work together for your good if you love the Lord. That's if you love the Lord. If. Romans 8 and 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So not only that you love him, but that you're called according to his purpose. Loving God has meaning which supersedes everything else. Jesus summed it up with this in John 14 and 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Period. There's nothing else to be said about that. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I'm asking you to do. Love me the way I want to be loved. For those that are backslidden, those that are wavering and wobbling, love God the way you used to love him. Love him the way you used to love him. and you'll see a difference in your life. It was around 1760 BC, and I'm not sure of the exact day or month of that, but it was hot outside, and the shepherds were gathering the water to water their herds, the sheep, shepherds, that is. As they waited for by the well to water their flocks, Rachel arrives. Now, Jacob had asked if anyone knew Laban, and everybody knew him, and they was like, hey, here come Rachel, because Rachel was a shepherd, and she shepherded her father's flock. And so when you see her, or when he saw her, it was love at first sight. It was love at first sight. Now, maybe you've experienced that before. Maybe you've experienced love at first sight. Not lust, not lust, L-O-V-E, love at first sight, not L-U-S-T, at first sight. I mean that love. And it was a true love. It wasn't that you loved certain parts of her. It's that you loved her. There was a connection. There was a click. And some people have that. Some people get that. And I've heard people talk about that. My godfather, my godmother used to talk about, I mean, he was doing everything to get her. And he had options. But it was her that he felt that connection to. I know of... I laugh at one of the pastors because I've heard the story about how his wife or how she left. And when she moved here, he was on the next thing moving to follow all the way to California from down south to keep up with her because he was in love with her. And they're still together today. And so there are others. There are many other stories. And thank God for those testimonies that love is true and can happen. Maybe you've been in love and it didn't work out, you know, that you love them and they did not love you the way you love them, or at least you thought. But relationships are something that are worked through as well. It's worked on. It's a lifetime process also. And so I love the fact that when you are connected with someone that you are, you will see the same things. You may even dream the same thing. You may even say, and before you finish, they finish. You walk in the house with a carton of eggs, a loaf of bread, and some milk, and they walk in the house with the same thing because you both were on the same page that was what you just felt it, and you did it, you know, and that just makes such a difference. And God is able to talk with the both of you about a situation and confront. It is just so awesome what God does with marriage, because it's symbolic to him and the church. Don't act strange about the statement love at first sight or lust, because all of us have had to learn what love really was. All right. And so some of us was in lust for a long time, and others fell in love, and there's puppy love and all kinds. But anyway, we learn very early on that there is a thin line, and you don't want to cross a thin line and break it. Because there are results that are going to happen from what I've seen can be very devastating. It can be very devastating. And so, gentlemen, your daughters need to know and learn what love is from you. You have a daughter, let her learn what love is from you. Let her know that she is beautiful and from your mouth, so that when she hears some other guy say it, it's not a, oh, and she fall and she just melt into his arms and he takes advantage of her. No, because she's mature, because you have treated her in such a way and taught her, and she understands. Not with a hammer telling her that guys are dogmatic or anything like that, because women can be dogmatic too. But if she knows what that word means and what it truly means, and she understands what stop means when stop is spoken and all of those things, that comes from you. So that you're protecting her from Bozo the clown. Yes, you're protecting her from Bozo. And then she'll be comfortable coming to tell you when Bozo is trying to get out of line so that you can put that clown back in line. All right. Listen here. We're not going to stay there and talk about that too much. But Bozos don't have much money. They got a lot of talk. And Bozo's not looking for a wife. He's interested in a few laughs, some fun and games. And your daughter, as well as your sons, are not the plaything. And so you need to, gentlemen. And so back in the day, one of the things that used to, that would bug me, and it would still bug me today if I heard it. I thank God that the quality of people that I'm around are not playing these games. At least they're hiding it very well from me. But one of the things I did not want to hear is a young man telling some woman how much he loved her. You listen, if you want some trim, man, I'm just being candid here. If you want some trim, don't lie and talk about you love you, because you really don't. That's not love. You're just trying to get someplace. Or if you're dogging out your girlfriend, you have a girlfriend or a wife at home and you want to put her down in the ears of another woman to try to build your guilty conscience up. You know, that's not cool. And I, personally, I resent and can't be around brothers like that, you know, that's trying to do that in any kind of way that you're dogging somebody else out to try to get someplace. That means, what, one, that says your game is not good. All right. Let's just put it that way. Now, we're talking about in the streets. We ain't talking about in the church, because I know none of that's going on in the church. Right, brothers? Right, sisters? Ladies, gentlemen? All right. Jacob sees Rachel and he falls for her. It was not a secret romance. And if you got one of those secret romances that you want nobody to know about, that's not cool. All right. If she can't run home like Rachel and tell her brother or tell her dad or tell her uncle or tell anybody that, hey, I've met somebody, that's a problem. That's a problem. And you may not, ladies, you may not run home and tell your dad or tell your mom, you know, that you met somebody right away. It may be a couple of days or weeks or something like that. But you should be telling them, you know. So it's nothing wrong with that. Now, my hat's off to my daughters that have followed that thing. They know that I expect that. And I appreciate that. But not only that, my sons, we have that type of open communication too. And so it's something you have to build on early, but something you start, just have a good conversation. And so they don't feel threatened to talk about stuff. Now, they know where the boundaries are, because if you're going to live a saved life, you're going to have some boundaries. You're going to have some boundaries. And so, listen, understand real dads are watching and listening, and they are going to be, they're going to be no's. You got to respect the no. You got to respect the not now. And so you got to talk with them so that they're not sneaking around to do stuff, because if they sneak in, you know, there's going to be surprises. Need to understand and know so that you can experience what life has to offer besides a guy or a girl. Life has a lot more to offer. There's a lot more scenery outside of California. There's a lot more scenery outside of Texas and Miami. There's a lot more scenery outside of New York. There are other places that you need to go and see, and you don't want to be slowed down with a responsibility that you can't go. And certainly if he can't, if he ain't got no money to go nowhere, I don't care if it's to the Lakers game. Lakers may not be your team, but if you're in Los Angeles and you can't spend some money and go to a real game, and you got to always watch it on TV and all that. Come on now, get outside of the zone that you in. Get outside of it. Do something. Live a little. Experience some fun. Please go out and have some fun without getting in trouble. The Bible tells us in this 29th chapter that Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Now, Laban is first mentioned when Abraham sent his servants to find a wife for Isaac. Now, Laban was impressed with the diary that Abraham had servants was carrying. Now, ladies, understand something. I know we live in a certain day and time, and people, you know, I've heard people say this before that, oh, well, you know, it takes two incomes. Well, that depends. That depends on if you're handling business the right way. And if you're going to work together, then yes, those two, you can build something great. But in the meantime, minimum wage You know, I remember when minimum wage was $3 and some change. Now, I know I just told. But listen, yes, it was. I remember when I got $5 an hour, you know, $800 a month. And I mean, I was thrilled. That was some money. And yes, we had an apartment. We had two cars. We was living large. So understand, listen, I just want you to understand that yes, sometimes it may take two incomes. And if you're working together, but in this day and time, there's a lot of money to be made too. Knowledge has increased. Knowledge has increased. In other words, the availability of knowledge has increased. That don't mean that people are using it. A matter of fact, I know that they're not. I'm disappointed in so many times when I talk to the brothers and they're not doing anything. I asked a brother, well, I've asked a few of them, have you read any books? And they said, no. I said, well, what are you reading? And he was, sometime I read my Bible. So you're not really growing at all. And the Bible encourages us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that includes your workbooks and academic as well, because even with reading their Bibles, I find that they're still missing the mark as far as what is the gospel truth? What is God saying? Or even the simplest note. Paul said it like this. He said, we will leave, and I'm paraphrasing this, but we'll leave the foundation of the laying on of hands and baptism and all that. If the Lord will, we're not going to stay there in that because there's so much more. However, we cannot get to that much more because people are not understanding even the basic of some things that they've been hearing for years, year after year, and still pick up the book of, let's just say Psalms 20, the Lord is my shepherd, and still can't explain that. And you might giggle and say, oh, well, you know, they should be able to say, listen, one of the pastors, we were talking about school, you know, because a man cannot rise above his knowledge. None of us can. You cannot rise above your knowledge. Wherever your knowledge stops at, that's where you are. And they had a 2,000 word essay to write on six verses. So that means that you have to pull back the layers to do that. You have to dig in. And it's the same thing in your natural. If you're going to be an expert in something, you're going to be very good, qualified, so that you can get premium dollars for your skill set, you're going to have to dig in. All right. I'm going to digress and go on to something else. The quality of life should not be compromised. Your quality of life should not be compromised because of someone that you meet. Oh, I love him. And he cannot take, he has nothing. He has nothing to offer you. Oh, well, she's so fine. And I just want to hang with her. And I want, man, I'm just, and she has nothing to offer. She has nothing. If she is in school, let her finish school. She's going to need it. You're going to need it as a couple. Let her graduate college, and you need to graduate, or vocation, whatever that you're interested in. You need to do something so the quality of life is not compromised. If you have a home, ladies, you have an apartment, where's he living? He's living with his mom, living with his dad. He's what? You have a car and he wants to borrow yours. Those are some big no-nos for me. And those are some big no-nos. Does he have a working automobile? Now, some people Uber. Today, they Uber. I used to like to ride the bus. I had a car at home. However, I did not drive it. I used to like to ride the bus. And there were some reasons that I'm going to mention about riding a bus that I used to love to be on it so much. But I didn't mind leaving the car at home. And so, listen, you need to have something of equal. Now, maybe you don't have a car because you don't want one. That's fine. But you have something. You have the means. You have verifiable income, credit score, your FICO score. You should know what a FICO is by now without it being explained to you. And it should be verifiable income. They did not go empty-handed to meet anyone. No, they didn't do that. They weren't just filled with ambition. I'm going to go out and meet somebody. Ambition does not replace food or fix things. Ambition doesn't pay the bills. You know, it looks good. It sounds good. You may persuade someone, but understand something, that doesn't buy diapers or anything like that. No. So it might look good. They might look good. It might sound good. It may fully, but until it's fully manifest, you are just there. You're just there waiting and telling, you're psyching your own self up, telling your friends and stuff about how this person is going to make it. They're going to make it. They're going to be an NBA star and all of that. And there's a possibility that they may have some talent. However, everyone is not chosen in the draft. What will you do if you're not chosen? Or what would you do if you get injured? I remember seeing a gentleman that was played for the Dallas Cowboys, but he suffered a knee injury. And because of that knee injury, he had to rely on his business degree. And he's working at a bank as his executive. A friend of mine who was a Major League Baseball player slid in, messed his leg up. That was it. But he was very smart. And he relied on his college degree to carry him on forward. So listen, Leah's, the Bible said that she was, or her name means delicate or weary. And Rachel, name is female sheep. And so their mother is identified as being delicate and slender. We don't hear too much about her. We don't hear too much about their mom. We only hear about Laban. And so Leah was tender-eyed, the Bible said, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And so the Bible described her as with this tender-eyed, meaning her eyes were not lively, bright. You know, sometimes you see a person have bright eyes. They have happy eyes, as I've heard someone say. But her eyes lacked a natural appearance of happiness or glee. And whereas Rachel's eyes would have been happy and illuminating with life, just bright, you know. So, gentlemen, you have to be careful. Again, be careful. Lip, hips, and fingernail tips is not all there is. Nope, that's not it. It might look good, but it don't mean that it's good for you. Growing old with someone, this is good. Growing old with someone that truly appreciates you and you appreciate them, and there you truly desire each other, that's good. Loving you as you are, you know, that's a great thing. You might start out, some of us started out with as thin as straws, and now we look like a carton of straws. And so some might start off looking like a Coke bottle, as they used to say. And today you look like a leader. But, you know, it's when you're growing old with someone or growing older with someone and you're both appreciate each other, there's nothing greater than to have someone that loves you back. Mm-hmm. Not a 50-40, not a 60-40 or, you know, 20-30, all of that kind of stuff. But someone that truly loves you, you can thank God for them. And, you know, and I encourage it. If you, you know, sometime your kids, sometime you're at church, somebody ought to see you flirting or kiss your wife sometime. I didn't say, you know, dive all into it. I'm just saying there should be some type of affection. There's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know why we don't encourage that much in churches, but it should be displayed. It should be displayed. And holding hands, there's nothing wrong with holding your wife's hand walking into the service or anything like that. Recognizing her for who she is as being your support and vice versa. The 18th verse says, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, Jacob negotiated a deal with Laban that he should work for his daughter's hand in marriage. And remember, Jacob is running, so he does not have an inheritance in his possession. All he has the blessing from his dad. But he's running for his life. So all, and he has a promise from God. Genesis, the 28th chapter, tells us that Jacob went out to Beersheba and he was in Haran and he lightened upon a certain place. In other words, he stopped and he was going to go to sleep because the sun was set, and he took up the stones and he, you know, placed it in a position where he could lay down and went to sleep. And he dreamed and a ladder was there, and the ladder reached into the heavens and the angels of the Lord ascending and descending, and the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, my father, and God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And so he has the promise of God. However, that is not manifest yet. All he has is what God is telling him. And sometimes that's all you're going to have, is what God is showing you, what God has given you. And you have to work with that until it is manifested. Now, Laban said, okay, cool. It's better that I give Rachel, than that I should give her to another man. And so, yeah, go ahead and abide with me. And so Laban and Jacob agreed on the terms and condition. At least that was what Jacob believed. I'll work 7 years and I'll marry Rachel and we're going to be happily ever after. And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed unto him but a few days. The thought of Rachel as a prize made the time seem like nothing. 7 years. 7 years. Listen, 7 years is some time. What have you done in the past 7 years? What have you done in the past seven years? You could have taken at least one class or two classes a year and would have completed at least a degree. Yes. 7 years, you could have completed a few vocational certificates to increase your knowledge and skill set. Something besides becoming a father and a mother. Something more than excuses or regrets. 7 years is some time that you could have invested in yourself. And that's something we should do. Invest in ourselves. And I don't hear too many people talking about that. I hear a lot of excuses. And it, age don't have nothing to do with, not from what I've seen, where they are looking for people to specialize in certain areas. Invest in yourself. I hope you will do that. It's important that you do. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. There's a lack of knowledge that exists among those that say they believe. Don't be named among them. If there's somebody that's not taking initiative, if they're not part of their own initiative program to increase their knowledge and to do better and make good in their life, you don't need to hang with them, because if there's nine broke, you're going to make number 10. So let me ask you this question. How many birthdays have come and gone where you looked at your life and said, wow, I could have done better? You feel starting to feel a little sad, a little depressed, a little down and out because you look and say, well, I haven't accomplished nothing. I'm still struggling. I'm 40 years old. I'm struggling. You know, I'm 50 years old. I'm struggling, you know, and all of this kind. I'm struggling. 30 years old. I'm struggling. I could have done better. And then 5, 7, 10 years go by again, and you still got that same story. I'm struggling. You said that when you hit your late 30s, your late 20s and early 30s, that, oh, man, I need to do something different, and have not done anything except make that statement and felt bad for the moment and then walked away. Now, the Apostle James described this type of action. He describes it. Yes, he does. In the first chapter, verse 21, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So that's what's, first of all, that's what's going on. You got a lot of filth in your life, and you got a lot of superfluity of naughtiness. You got a lot of naughtiness superseding in your life rather than constructive behavior. Constructive behavior. You're flooded with naughtiness. You got a bunch of excess of stuff that is going up that have not been dealt with. He goes on to say, receive the meekness and grafted word. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what the scripture said. But also hear what Pastor Carl, hear what I'm saying.
which is able to save your soul. All right. So we know that he's talking about the saving your soul, but at the same time, first come the natural, then the spiritual. You got to be doing, you're not going to be all spiritual and speak, I'm speaking in tongues and I'm dancing and I feel the spirit of the Lord quickening me. And your natural life is not measuring up. It's not measuring up. That means that there's a false balance. And what is a false balance? An abomination unto the Lord. God said, I want to use you, my people, as an example of wellness. I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants to show off with you. Are you allowing him to do that? I'm not talking about with the little trinkets. I'm not talking about the little things. I'm really talking about what he wants to do. Listen, but it comes with action. It comes with obedience. He said, with meekness and the grafted word, which is able to save your soul, but be ye doers of the word. There we go. And not hearers only. Deceiving yourself. So there's a great deception among those that believe. Deceiving yourselves, not investing in yourself, not doing anything, not learning anything outside of just being able to quote a few scriptures and, you know, and sing a few gospel songs. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, we're not able to get into that this week. But listen, what are you doing? For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So you already know the situation and condition. And then you, after hearing what's being said, then you just leave and you're going back to doing things the way you used to. But whosoever look into the perfect law of liberty and continue there, and he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Don't cherry pick what I just said. Don't cherry pick the gospel. Don't pick and choose certain parts of the word to try to cater it to your liking. No, this is not. Don't do that. We're supposed to take the whole world. Now, listen. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered all the men together. So they having a party. They having a good time. Everybody singing, everybody rocking, everybody, they having a good time. Yes, they are. And they made a feast. All right. So they got some food there. They got some drink there. They got the band playing. You know, they got the chain dance going on. They, you know, all of that stuff, whatever, you weren't there to know it, but they were there. They were having a good time. All right. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. So obviously the lights was dim. He didn't recognize her from that she was not Rachel at that time of the evening. He went in and whatever they had, you know, after partying and carrying on and drinking and, you know, whatever they did in that moment. When he went in, he was thinking about Rachel. Jacob thought his running away would leave trouble behind. He ran away. And now he's dealing with something else. Leaving trouble behind is only placing it on the shelf for a little while, because eventually that thing will have to be dealt with. That thing can, it and it will follow you. Jacob wasn't aware about what was going to happen next. At the end of the 7 years, in his mind, hey, Rachel, oh, yeah, it's on. Since God's word says things will follow us, the Bible tells us that is very clear. There is a way to soften the chain of events. Now, I want you to understand something. You get yourself in trouble, you do something, and you're suffering for the consequences of your behavior. I don't care how you pray, how you cry on an altar. You got to overcome evil with good. If you've been fired 3 times, in the last 4 years, you need to get on one job and stay there permanently for the next 5 or 6 years and create a good reputation, on that job. Move up the ranks on that job so that you can have a good character reference. You can have a good character. Anytime it's everybody else's fault but yours, something is wrong. something is wrong. Did I tell you something was wrong? You must practice righteousness in spite of, or in spite of what anyone else is doing, because everything may not be your fault, but some things that you deal with that you may reap comes from the result of something you did. Okay. And when you sow a seed, let's say you take a kernel. So you take a kernel from the corn and you plant in the ground, and that kernel grows into a corn, grows up into a stalk, or whatever you call what the corn grows up into. And it doesn't have one seed on it. It has a couple of different ears on it, and each ear has multiple kernels. So you got to be careful what you do. And you have to be very careful, because whatever you sow is going to come back with more than what you planted. All right. And so the Bible says, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, as a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is it? Man, what did you do? He was surprised. He didn't anticipate that. But I want you to think about this. Because Laban is part of the family. He's part of the family that his mom. Remember, his mom is the one that said, hey, your dad is ready to give the blessing to your brother. And so we're going to trick him into thinking that you're Esau. We're going to trick him into thinking that you're Esau. And so we see that there is shenanigans among the family. It usually starts at home. It has to start somewhere. Righteousness starts at home. Love starts at home. Well, some of the shenanigans that we see, it started at home. It didn't just start in the streets. And so he asked, what have you done? You've tricked me. You've betrayed me. Remember, that thing that you do will follow you. And we see that there's trickery that has followed him into his current situation. Mighty God, bless you, Lord. Thank God. God bless you. Thank God for each of you that have taken time out of your schedule. My lad, God bless you. Hi. Thank God for Anessa and for Maura, for Don. You know, share the gospel with someone else. Be sure to share the link with someone else. Let them know that thing that they do will follow them. Be careful what you do now, knowing that it will follow you. And until the Lord say the same, be blessed. God say the same. We'll be back on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock to see what the Lord has to say. And I'm telling you, God is saying some things. Stay consecrated unto the Lord and be blessed.